Welcome to MedRoom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning, Andrew Craig, and Brad McLaughlin, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, or anyone who wants a sneak peek into the real world of bedside nursing. So join us, laugh along the way, and maybe learn a little something too. And thanks for listening, guys. Hello, nurses. Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, or stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful information, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, practice acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect that of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, folks. Welcome to Episode 3 of MedRoom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. Today we're going to be talking with nurse and my personal friend, Brad McLaughlin. We're going to start out today learning a little bit about who Brad is and why we should care about what he has to say. Hi, Brad. Will you please go ahead and just give us the skinny on who you are?
Okay. So I've been a nurse for about 4 years. I started in the dreadful long-term care, as we all know. I'm definitely not cut out to be a long-term care nurse, but
me neither.
So I've been in the hospital for about 3 years, I would say. Various hospitals, and then I decided to travel one day. And that's how
just
I
one day, you were like, one day I'm leaving, I'm going
somewhere. And the corn state was not exactly the first choice, but that's where I ended up.
So was that just kind of like what had an available assignment for you when you wanted to go, or what?
Actually, it was more my recruiter who said, if you could do that assignment, you could basically go anywhere you wanted afterwards. So I was like, okay, I can do that.
Is that because the hospital that we work in is so brutal? It's like boot camp. It like makes it so that you can be a superhero at any hospital. Is that what you're saying?
I think what they were trying to say is it was prestigious. So
yeah. So I think both are true.
Yeah.
I think both
probably are true. But anyway, I met Adrienne as a nursing assistant, a very good one.
Oh, thank you. I did it for a long time. I better have gotten good at it after all those years.
Well, some don't get that good after that long.
Yeah, I guess.
So,
but yeah.
I spent 6 months with you, right?
Yeah, it was. And then when you left, I was like so sad. Like other travelers that had come and gone, like, I missed them, but, like, I was actually, I mean, to be completely honest, I was kind of pissed that you left, because I was like, I felt, like, instantly, like, it was like that scene in Step Brothers, where I was like, oh, my God, did we just become best friends? It was kind of that feeling that I had after, and then you left right before, like, your contract ended right before I started working as a nurse.
Yeah, a baby nurse.
A baby nurse. I literally think, I actually on my Facebook page the other day, I found that photo that we took after brunch, like the morning before you like left my life. and in the caption, it said that it was like right after my last nursing assistant shift. So I'm pretty sure you literally left like the second I finished my life as a as exclusively a CNA.
Yeah, that's right. And how long was it after you passed your test? I can't remember.
When did you leave again?
Oh, I think it was
the timeline. Yeah,
June
so
or July.
I got my license actually on July 1st. Like, that was the day I found out that I had passed and that I had a license number. So, I mean, it was literally, like, right around the same time you left. So I had never even, you know, signed my name as a nurse when you left, basically. So yeah, so that's why the other night when we both worked together for the first time, which it hasn't happened since, although it's still early in the game, but it felt so weird to me, not for any reason other than I was totally used to seeing you walking down the hallway in our designated colored scrubs, but I wasn't used to being like...
in those scrubs.
Exactly. So, so this is still a new experience, so... But I think that you bring a lot to the table because not only do I think you're an excellent nurse, and I literally like have been awaiting your return, not just because we're friends, but also because I'm like, I can learn some shit from this guy. So so that, you know, not that I have to kiss your ass on the air, but I respect you and the experience that you have, and also just kind of the way you approach things. So I'm glad you're able to join me and that we're able to talk about things because I think you have a lot of valuable things to say. And for those who have listened to other episodes, I also have done some episodes with Andrew, who also was one of my coworkers when I was a CNA, and he's a traveler right now. So we've got a lot of different perspectives coming to this forum. So welcome once again. What are we talking about today, Brad? What do we want to bring to the people?
I don't know. I think the biggest thing right now that's in the, kind of in the news, not so much news, but what, we get our news from Facebook.
There's buzz going around about nurses and the use of social media.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
So in the 4 years that I've been a nurse, I think I've heard more about nurses getting terminated for the use of social media.
Than for any other reason, right?
Yeah.
And oftentimes, it's not malicious. Oftentimes, it's somebody said just a little bit too much in a Facebook post, or I don't know, what else?
Well, I mean, I think we've actually had a run-in with it, not so recently, but people just taking harmless pictures or at work, taking pictures that's not even work-related, and in the background, you know?
Yeah, so it's a big, scary deal, because we're not just talking like, oops, your manager called you in, and whatever happened online is, you know, suddenly an issue. It's like, not just between you and them, like, this is a federal law, and for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, for nursing students, or new nurses, I'm talking about HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996. That is quite the mouthful. but, yeah, so basically it's what protects everybody's health information. And with that protection comes, you know, like you not talking about them on social media, whether it be a private account or not. Because guess what? A private account can still be screenshotted and taken into, you know, administrators. And I actually, you know, I'm willing to talk about my own experience because I actually early on was pulled in to an administrator's office as a nursing assistant for saying just a little too much. Now, I was lucky it wasn't such a violation that I was actually in legal trouble. However, it was close enough that someone that saw it reported it, and I'm glad they did because it was a mild violation, and it didn't actually reveal too much, but it was on the borderline, and it just, it made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It caught my attention.
Yeah.
So,
and, I mean, yeah. Anyone can have that run-in, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there are actually, I think to make a list just of some of the ways that this can go wrong, because there are a lot of different ways, like what we're talking about now. You could accidentally take a harmless picture of you and your friend, and on the wall behind you, there's an assignment board with a list of 30 names, and, you know, people know where you work, your employer is listed on your Facebook page. Suddenly, you have a major breach of patient confidentiality. So that's one way. A second way is that patients reach out to you, and they want to be your friend. They want to follow you. And then you have the dilemma of, well, then it opens a whole different Pandora's box. We'll get to that. So then there's the act of actually interacting with patients on social media. And then even the third way is you can incriminate yourself in ways that affect your patient relationship. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, say you have a patient that comes in, and they come in a lot because they're detoxing, you know, and you know that they have alcoholism and they have disease related to that. Well, you come in and you're trying to, you know, give them patient education on what their drinking is doing, and they don't want to fucking listen to you because they saw a picture of you on Facebook doing a beer bong in a bikini in Cancun, you know, like, so you have to think about this. Like, your credibility is at stake as well. What kind of image are you putting out there? You know, I Google my name periodically, not because, basically just because I want to make sure that there's not horrible shit about me that pops up on the first page of Google. Not that I put anything out there, but, you know, picture me walking down the street, picking my nose or something. You have to know what you're putting out there because it is permanent. The deep, dark internet is not going to let that shit go, right? Would you say those are some pretty overarching categories of the way this can go wrong?
A lot of us put everything about our lives on Facebook, but what some people don't understand is when you add, let's say, you know, you update your information and you say, I work at blah place. You have now opened your whole profile for that place to look at. You have to understand that what you post now, your employer can look at. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, because you may like the page of your employer, and some employers even require you to like their page so that they can keep an eye on you. So you have to really be aware of what you post. And I can talk about one of my run-ins too, because it was maybe a little more mild, but it wasn't an offense that was, you know, I couldn't have, no one could have done anything about it. When I was, I think it was 2 years as a nurse, I had a patient that we had given a lot of medication to, and I'm not talking like one vial of medication. I'm talking like 12 vials of medication. And one of the other nurses decided to take a picture of it, you know, like, holy cow, this is a lot of medication.
Right.
And she was the one that posted it, but I commented on it, you know, as someone usually does. And what we didn't realize was the location of where the med dispensing unit was had the unit on it. So there was no patient information.
Oh.
There was no name. There was no identifier. But the only thing was the unit was listed on the medication dispenser.
So basically, you gave a giant X on the map of where all our drugs are in this hospital.
Basically,
here's your treasure map, guys.
Yeah. So we did get called into the office, and actually the other party took responsibility because it was more her fault because she posted the picture. But it just goes to show that even the simplest thing can identify you.
Absolutely, and it can really create a detriment to not just you because you violated that, but your patients. You know, think about You know, say you don't even necessarily need to work in a small town, but, you know, say you post something that is enough of an identifier that someone else that doesn't work on your unit knows who you're talking. I mean, you don't know what references people are going to get. So even if you try to talk in code or, like, use very general terms, it can still be enough to trigger someone to be like, oh. And, you know, already in my first year of nursing, I've taken care of patients, and then a family member comes to visit, and it's a person I know and I did not plan on seeing in that moment. And my response is, if they recognize me, I will say, like, by the way, my roles in and out of this building are distinctly different roles, and so, you know, I hope you expect that nothing will be discussed across those boundaries. I used to work in a gynecology clinic, and so I used to actually say to my patients, because, you know, these are people that, like, I went to school with or saw at the grocery store. And one day I was rounding the corner of the bread aisle, and I saw a woman that had come in for an STD treatment, and she was with her boyfriend, and her face went white out. Like, she suddenly was like, oh, shit. And I pretended like I didn't know her. I just kept about my business. And hopefully she was like, oh, phew. But, like, after I had that experience, I made a point to say to my patients, like, if I see you on the street, unless you approach me, it's like I don't know you. Okay? And yeah. Most of them would sigh with relief and be like, okay. Because most people don't want to have those interactions when they're just going about their lives.
It's funny you bring that up because I feel like we get the same feeling, like, on the other side, like, when we're the patient,
mm-hmm.
and then you meet someone in the grocery store or something, you get the same feeling. Because, you know, even though we are so versed in the healthcare universe, we still have that thing in the back of our mind, like, are they going to recognize me, and are they going to not do what we do?
Well, yeah. Like, okay, yeah, and here's the thing. You also never know. I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic, but just as you were talking, it made me think of this, and this is kind of humorous to me. So in the span of walking from our unit to where I park in the parking ramp, I have run into these categories of people before. Okay, I'm going to list them. I've run into my gynecologist, who's been my gynecologist for, like, 20 years, and she's amazing. But it's weird when you're like, oh, hey, hi. And then you're like, oh, I know this person because she puts a speculum in and brushes my cervix every few years. Like, that's weird. I, in the same skywalk, will run into my clinical instructor who made me cry the first day of clinicals. By the end of clinicals, I loved her. I absolutely adored her. I see her in the skywalk. I see another person who I never dated or did anything naughty with, but flirted with heavily for a long time. And I also am just professional. But, like, in a span of, like, 300 yards, I can see people from literally every aspect of my life, like my personal life, my professional life, my very, very private life, you know, old bosses, ex-coworkers, you know, patients that I've seen before, like, all of these people I can run into just fucking walk into the car. So
I do want to point out that that's the best part out of moving to a brand new place.
And you know what? We kind of want that again, which is why, you know, I've talked about wanting to travel like all of the other nurses around me. But that's I kind of want that anonymity again. I grew up in a big city. Iowa City is kind of like, it's small town, but just big enough that it's not a small town. I mean, it's very strange here. So there are times I can go a whole week without seeing anybody I know, and then the day that I don't shower and I didn't brush my teeth and I still have last night's makeup on, I see everybody I've ever met in my life at the Hy-Vee, so the grocery store. So yeah, and so you have to be careful. And then, you know, social media, so let me, we got so far off topic, but it's fun.
Just so that everyone knows, we will get into traveling and that topic at a later date.
Yes, we will. But I do want to stay on task. I'm the one that throws us off topic. Back
she
to
does
the
that
social media.
Too.
Yeah, well, yeah, but my patients are well cared for, and everybody usually has a good time as long as I'm not totally freaking out, which that also is another topic, new nurse freakouts. That is
yeah.
a topic
we'll
that
get
I really
there.
Want to touch on. This was how my episode with Andrew went, too. We'd be, like, talking about something, and we'd be like, oh, yeah, we got to talk about that later, too. I mean, this is what the world of nursing is. It is an endless cycle of things that we have to talk about right now.
Yeah,
and a lot of
food.
Food in the break room. Yes, food in the break room. That's so funny. That's perfect. Yes. Okay, let's refocus. Social media. So we've talked about running into people in person, and that's social, but that's not social media. So,
It kind of is.
It kind of is.
It's pretty on topic, actually.
It is. Go ahead.
Mostly because these people have met you, and they might actually see you on social media, too. And if it's someone with, like, your doctor, do you friend them on Facebook, too? Like, you know, you've known this person for 20 years. You know, that's something you also have to think about.
Right. And so I actually very recently, just a little bit of self-promotion, I have a blog called Night Nursing Nuances, and I did a blog post. I'm actually looking it up right now. I did a blog post about social media because I got my first ever friend request from a patient. And ordinarily, if it was just someone that I had taken care of once or twice, I would have just, like, flippantly just been like, no, sorry, nice try. But my blog post is about, I wrote it on May 10th, and if anybody wants to look it up, it's at Nurse Drizzles, Drizzles, at WordPress.com. Anyway, this was a real conundrum for me because this was a patient that I took care of through a really, really hard, long, at times dark recovery. And this person ended up leaving healthy and not about to die. And it was also like in my first few months of nursing. So this person actually was really special to me. And so my instinct was, oh, yes, I want to see everything this person is doing, and I want to know how they are, and I want to talk to them. But then I immediately had this feeling of like, no, because, like, I'm a pretty mouthy person. Like, I try to keep my rants on Facebook to a minimum. I've tried to stop putting political stuff up there just because it makes me absolutely freaking insane. But I immediately was like, I need to decide here and now whether it's all or nothing, because I feel like it's a slippery slope. You approve, because we see a lot of the same patients over and over again based on the nature of their conditions. And so it's very possible that, like, and also these people know each other because they're hospitalized together at the same time. They run into each other in the cafeteria or wherever in the hallway. So it's a small network, and if I let one of them in, I have to let them all in, I feel, because I'm not someone who's going to play favorites or make someone feel bad or whatever. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it, so here, I want to actually open up my blog post because I feel like I made some good points. So how do you feel about that, first of all, the fact that these are people that, do you feel like it's an all or nothing kind of thing? Like, if you accept one patient friend request, you can't pick and choose. You got to let them all. It's like inviting kids to your third grade birthday party. Your mom's like, you can't just invite, like, your five best friends. You have to invite your whole class. I feel like it's kind of like that. Do you?
I don't feel that way because my policy has always been never to friend a patient. I did have an instance where I did have a patient friend request me, but it was also while she was still in the hospital and she was young. So I thought about it very fleetingly, and I was like, obviously I'm not going to, because really I shouldn't open that door for that type of relationship. Granted, she may have friend requested me because we had a pretty working relationship and I was the only one that she was comfortable with in the hospital. But I also said, I can't do this with anyone. No Facebook friends, you know?
Right.
Because then you're getting into the dangerous waters about if they friend request you, they could also reverse and say, well, this person did something that violates HIPAA, you know? So you never know.
Right, like right. That. And, I think it's a slippery slope. So I, too, have chosen not to allow any. And I actually, this person that that friend requested me, because it was someone, I wouldn't have done this ordinarily, but because it was someone that was so special to me, I did send just a really brief reply that said, hey, it's nothing personal. You know, every nurse makes this decision for themselves, and I have chosen to keep my social media private from anyone that has been a past or potentially future patient of mine. I hope you're doing well. The end. So I did do that. I wouldn't have done that for anybody, but in this case, I felt it was important for me to say that to this patient. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't accept a patient. So one of the other reasons I have, I'm just going to go through my list, and then I'd like your rebuttal on each of these, if that's cool with you.
That sounds great.
Number two, because people like lists. I am such a list maker. My whole life is a series of lists. Number two, I feel that I should not clutter the relationship. I'm a very opinionated woman on political and social issues. Generally, I'm leaning in the direction of helping people who are, like, underserved or getting screwed by the world at large. But I don't want to know if people that I take care of have these, like, ideals or beliefs that are, like, starkly in contrast with mine. Like, I don't think my care, like, I'm going to give everyone the same care because that's what I signed up to do as a nurse. I am not going to, I don't want to be subconsciously or consciously swayed by knowing that, oh, this person feels this way about this issue. This person is a racist. This person is a homophobe. This person abuses children. This person is in jail. Like, I don't want to know about that because I don't want it to affect my ability to save their life. That's how I feel about that.
That's a very accurate view. Mostly because... Mostly because we really shouldn't let that stuff get in the way of taking care of people, you know? We can't...
Right.
We can't really refuse to care for patients unless we feel unsafe, and we'll get to that in another topic. But...
Right.
You know, in nursing school, they're always like, you can't really refuse to take care of someone based on views. It's just not... I mean, you can, but it's very hard with staffing ratios.
You better
now.
Have a damn good reason if you want to turn down a patient, basically, is how it goes.
You can. I mean, most places have coworkers that would be understanding and say, okay, well, we'll switch people. But, you know, you can't, in some areas, you can't do that. Like inner cities, places like that. You have to let go of your judgments and you have to take care of a person for the greater good.
And right.
Like you're saying, adding them on Facebook might open that door to look at different things that might cause that to happen, you know?
And also in reverse, I don't want that patient to think that I'm going to take different care of them because I might disagree with something they believe or posted or whatever. So that's what I mean by don't clutter up the relationship. Like, yeah. I want that patient to know that my role there is not to discuss religion, but, you know, I'll let people talk about whatever they want. I give really generalized neutral responses, unless they're, like, being incredibly offensive to, like, myself or a staff member or something like that, in which case I will say, like, that is inappropriate and I would like to talk about something else, or I wish you wouldn't say that or whatever. I don't tolerate abusive language. But if somebody wants to talk about, like, how much they love or hate the president or whatever, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, can you believe that, like, I'm just going to be like, you know, okay, here's your insulin. Here you go.
Well, in those situations, a lot of what I do is, you know, to smile and nod. You know, you agree
exactly.
with them. You agree with them a little bit, and then you leave. You know, you get back on topic. You get back on to what you're trying to do with them, and it really works fine. Most people
right.
don't.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Another reason I don't want to get anyone on my social media, the reason I don't want to let people into my private life when I'm taking care of them as patients is because we've had some pretty manipulative patients, and I don't necessarily want them knowing really intimate details about my life. Not that I'm putting, like, you know, my address up on Instagram or anything, but, you know, I don't want that person to know necessarily what my soft spots are or, you know, I don't want
really,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same way, you know, if it's a patient that I feel is unsafe and would come after me, then, you know, like I'm always grateful if I have, you know, like, let's say, I mean, I hate to single out the prisoner patient population, but say I have a prisoner that I'm actually kind of scared of, because we had one of these way back that I actually was like, I'm really kind of, like, there were two guards in there. It was someone who had been really violent in the ICU, and I was kind of scared, to be honest, even though there was no incident. My shift went fine. But I was like, the person was on ISO, so I had to wear an ISO gown, and I was like, thank God I don't have to worry about covering up my name. My badge is under my ISO gown, like, because sometimes you do have to worry, like, is this person going to get out of jail and come find me because I denied them pain medication that one time, and they're really pissed and can't let it go? I mean, you've got to protect yourself, so, and that in general, like, there are a lot of things that I put on the internet, and in some ways, I accept the fact that I'm not that hard to track down, but also, like, I'm a public employee. My salary is published online. Like, I am a state employee. So, there are certain things that I've accepted as, you know, a certain amount of risk of living in the world. And also I try to live my life in a way that's not going to super duper piss a whole bunch of people off to the point that they want to put a bomb in my flower pot, you know.
Right. And this is one of the reasons I actually do not like that they put our last names on our badge, because the
mm-hmm.
last facility that I worked in, we were allowed to cover it up with tape. And a lot of people asked why I did that. And I said, because I do not want people that really I don't know any of my patients really on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to know my full name, because what if they decide, oh, I'm going to look him up and I'm going to find him, you know? And it doesn't
yeah.
have to be someone
and
that's
so,
upset with you.
Right. And I want to, you know, I want to devil's advocate for a second, just because I want to keep all perspectives in mind here. Some would counter to that and say, well, you get to know everything about them. They should know who it is that's pumping medicine into their veins and knowing their most personal details about what their rectum looks like. So some people would argue that, like, you know, part of doing this is that, you know, you like your physician, how would you feel if you didn't know your doctor's last name? I mean, it's kind of, you know, our perspective, we want to be protected because we see patients that have psych issues, substance abuse issues, that are criminals, that are whatever, and violence is a real thing, and we'll talk about that in another episode as well. But yeah, what would you say to that? Like, some would say, like, I don't want to have a surgeon and all I know is his name is Bob, you know, or
yeah.
I don't want to know that the nurse that's giving me a blood transfusion right now, her name is Sally P. You know, especially since, you know, you're legally putting your name on their medical record as well. So if they get their records, I mean, I see what you're saying, but also, like, that's one of those subjects that as a baby nurse, I'm still like, I don't really have a strong opinion. I'm open to constant discussion and education.
Yeah. And it's not so much, I mean, you're correct that we do take care of these people and we do things that a lot of people don't. But you have to think about all of the other services that also don't give their last name, like paramedics. I mean, people that do some of the stuff that we do that also don't use their last names. And, I mean,
that's true.
I think it's a personal choice. I think it's if you want the patient to know your last name, you're more than welcome to. I just know where I worked. It was not something that everyone was willing to do. And we did take care of a population that potentially could use that information against us.
Sure. And, I think also, I do want to point out that our perspective, or at least my perspective, I can't speak for you, my perspective is that of a mid-sized community. We have violence, we've had murders. However, I moved out of Chicago a long time ago, and so it's not like I'm living under constant threat of violence like some people are, like some people working in emergency departments in some communities. Like, their
right.
threat is way bigger than mine is. I've been punched. I've had things thrown at me. Like, I've had patients try to bite me. But, like, I've never had anybody, like, pull a knife on me, for example. That's
right.
a separate issue. But I guess what I'm saying is that, like, maybe my... my openness with my life and where I exist, I'm pretty open to it because, I have been kind of in a bubble. If I lived in Cook County where I grew up, I wouldn't be like posting pictures of my front yard. Granted, the world is getting smaller and people can get to you no matter what. However, I'm an unimportant speck on this planet. Like, if somebody wants to take me out, well, they're going to find a fucking way whether I have a public Instagram account or not.
Right. And, I mean, the world is so small now anyway because we have Facebook and we have Instagram and we have Snapchat and we have Tumblr. I mean, that makes the world pretty darn small, if you ask me, because you can type any person's name into the Google search and find them,
Exactly.
You Googled ourselves the other day,
Yeah, and I think I joke about it, but I really do have a pretty large online presence because I have been so active with, blogging. Like, I did some stuff for a local entertainment magazine in town. I blogged. I was actually a rock photographer for a little while. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Small fish or big fish in a small pond, but it was fun for a long time, and people appreciated the work I did. But when you Google my name, a lot of stuff comes up, like everything from, family portraits that people have allowed me to post on my Flickr account to burlesque shows that I've photographed. One of my top 10 most popular photos on Flickr is from a burlesque. Actually, two of them are from a burlesque show and one is from a belly dancing performance. So yeah, I have quite the varied online presence. I'm sure people would Google me and be like, I don't know what the hell she's doing, but okay.
Yeah.
All right. I want to get back on topic again. This is my life is one big tangent. That's the other thing. So there's been talk about it at work. I don't know what the issue was. I don't know if you know what the issue was, but there was enough of an issue, I guess, at work that an email came out from management that said, we don't officially have a policy. However, you need to be really damn careful. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, of course. But then one of the CNAs that I work with who I think I have a good working relationship with, came up to me and was like, I've accepted people, or I got a request, or I can't remember the exact conversation because it was 3 a.m. and I was exhausted. But the CNA was basically what do I do? Do I accept this person? Do I not? Like, and I said, you know, it's everybody's personal choice, but here are the reasons. And I showed her my blog post because I'm a shameless self-promoter. And I was like, you know, I personally don't, and here are the reasons. And she was like, yeah, I think those are really good reasons. And she was like, should I send a message? And I was like, well, it was the same person that I had sent the message to that was, like, special to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sorry, nothing personal. And I said, well, you know, you can choose to say nothing, or, you know, you can say something like, it's not personal, but I don't accept patients, and, you know, I hope you're doing great, and, you know, whatever. And she sent that. It was, like, two or three sentences, and she sent that and, you know, left it at that. So I'm glad to think that, you know, I saved one person from potentially opening up that gate. And then in that same kind of discussion that I was having with her, another nurse came up and was like, oh, yeah, dude, I have accepted a bunch of people, and I'm wishing I hadn't, and now I feel bad because I don't want to delete them because I don't want to make them feel bad, but, like, that's why I just... And so, you know, people make these, like, steps that they don't think through, and they don't, you know, think through the consequences, and then they're like, oh, I just fucking hate social media. Like, I'm not using it anymore. And it's like, well, social media, it's like a car. You can drive that car into a crowd of people and kill everybody, or you can keep it on the road and it'll work just fine. So as long as you're using it responsibly and thinking about what you're doing, social media doesn't have to be like the bane of your existence, like you feel so exposed and there's so much social pressure and do I accept this person and will they hate me if I don't? And, you know, then you can just say to people, like, I just have a personal and professional boundary line that I keep very tidy, and it's nothing personal, and I hope you understand. And then, you know, I've also had people that have offended me so much that I'm just like, delete, I don't care. And then I still work with them, and I work just fine with them, and that's just that, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's very interesting that the hospital doesn't have a policy on this, because we hear a lot about people being terminated because of the social media
problem. Right, right.
If they actually don't have a policy, I mean...
Then what grounds are they using to terminate? Right.
They could be using the legal federal grounds for HIPAA, but I'm not sure where that's stemming from. And for all of the nursing students that choose to listen to us, you're going to hear in your nursing education about the ANA, the American Nurses Association, view of social media. It's usually like one of the first or last things you guys listen or read.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they did send that out to us when they brought that to our attention. And it's kind of what we've already been talking about, the same views that, you know, HIPAA can be breached and patient privacy can be breached, and really you shouldn't put any patient information on there. So, you know, the federal agencies have also put out a lot on this topic because it is such a hot topic.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm actually right now, I'm looking for, okay, so I'm between semesters right now, so organizationally I am a hot mess, but I actually have, okay, so I, when I started my nursing job, went through the entire full new hire orientation. You, since you already worked on the unit and know most of the policies that need to, that you need to know, you went through an abbreviated. So I'm assuming they didn't give you the big, long talk on social in nurse residency. In any case, they gave us these pamphlets about the responsible use, and I'm looking for them. And, of course, because of the time of night it is, for those of you who don't know, Brad and I are also both night shifters, same as Andrew in our other podcasts are. So I'm usually very fastidious and organized, but tonight, that's not happening. In any case, they did give us these pamphlets, but they were, you know, kind of, I don't want to say they're wishy-washy because they were helpful and did have good information in them. Gosh, I wish I had them. I will try to find them and post them on our Tumblr account so that folks can look at those. That's medroomchronicles.tumblr.com. go over there and follow us. But it basically said, like, you know, it is your decision. However, here are the consequences of the choices you make. And so I think it's more like a parent, instead of saying, you know, you have to do these things, I think it's a parent saying, like, you know the rules, and if you make any bad choices, it's on you, bud. So, but, you know, that's not much of a guide. I mean, it is, because they say, like, these are some of the risks, these are the consequences, you know, this is what you should consider. But really what they should say is, you know, unless you have a really specific reason or a specific job, you probably should not be connecting with people on private media. Like, my Instagram account, it's public. However, the most public, like, the most personal thing I post might be a photo of myself and my partner. But, just set up another account. Set up a dummy, not necessarily like a dummy account, but, like, set up, you know, an account that is literally no real personal information. It's like your public feed, you know, like your LinkedIn account, you know. It says who you are, and you have two dogs, and you like to go sailing, but it, like, doesn't have pictures of you doing body shots last summer down at your beach house. Like,
right.
Because you do that all the time, right, Brad? You, like, do body shots down at your beach house?
Sailing.
So, Brad, are you a big social media fanatic like I am?
Definitely not. Adrian snaps me like 12 times a day. I snap maybe once a week. I have not gotten into the Snapchat.
So, Snapchat is a way for me to annoy my friends with, like, every little mundane detail of my life when I'm bored. And, you know, I'm not often bored. I'm pretty good at finding things to do, but I imagine, you know, in my head that I have a grand following on Snapchat, and really I'm, like, a famous blogger, and, because I watch Snapchat like TV, and some of my favorite Snapchatters are, like, YouTubers. She doesn't know me, we're not sponsored by her, but I fucking love Mr. Kate. If you've never seen Mr. Kate, I'm going to tell you to go over there. I have, like, no followership, no poll, nobody on this planet besides you guys know who I am, but you have to check her out. I love her, but she snaps, like I will sit, like, I always watch her snaps last, because I will just, like, sit and just, like, set the phone down on the table and just watch them, and it'll just go for, like, a long, long time, and I love it. Because it'll be, like, her cats and, like, what she's doing and where she's going and cool shit. And, like, she has really perfect teeth. And I'm like, I like looking at you. So, anyway, Mr. Kate, if you ever hear this, which you never will, fucking holla. I love you.
Well, you know, now that we're on the subject of Snapchat, what do you think about Snapchat in the setting of healthcare? Because, you know, everyone says, oh, it's not redeemable, it's only there for 10 seconds, like, you know,
First of all, you, not only can you screenshot traditionally anything so that you basically save whatever's on your screen, if you do that within, like, if you actually do that the traditional way, they see that you've taken a screenshot, so at least you kind of know, oh, shit, somebody just took a picture of that, maybe I shouldn't post any more things like that. But
yeah.
Also, there are hacks and, like, round ways around everything. So, like, I don't remember how to do it, but once I Googled, like, how to take a Snapchat or a screenshot without that person knowing, there are ways to do that. So, you know, don't be sending titty shots or, like, dick pics or anything like that on Snapchat, because they could even take that picture with another phone. I mean, let's be real here. Like, everybody's surrounded by, like, right now I have my laptop, my tablet, and my phone all within, like, arm's reach. So don't tell me that, like, oh, it just disappeared and it's gone. You got to be careful with that shit. Like, the stuff that I post is, like, when I make a recipe, I post, like, artsy fucking poses, 10-second shots of, like, what I'm cooking. I'm sure that people that I have to say, you know, lots of people, people look at my stuff. I have, like, 20 people that look at my snaps. And I have a small group of people that actually, like, respond on the regular. And they'll be like, ha-ha, that's awesome. Or, like, whoa, you know, just, like, random whatever. And but I love those interactions, like, because these are people that otherwise I might not get to have. You know, these are, like, friends that have moved away or, like, people that I knew when they lived here, and then they moved away. And when we started talking on social media, we got to find out that we actually really would have gotten along if we had met sooner. So, like, I don't think social media is irredeemable. I, you know, some of my best friends, including the year that you were gone, if it weren't for social media, like, I don't think I even had your phone number till you moved back here, honestly. Like, because we were communicating through Messenger or through Snapchat or whatever. So I think that while social media definitely can be a dredge on people's lives, and some people really do need to protect themselves from it, and if you're one of those people, please don't think that I'm, like, glorifying that you get into that. But for me, it really is an important tool. Like, I like to talk, as anyone who's listened to these podcasts knows. I can talk forever, and if I don't talk to people online every day, then Doug gets home and I talk till his ears bleed. So this really is the public service for Doug. This is so he doesn't have to listen to me talk about every single thing I saw and heard about and read about and every person I talked to or. Yeah. So do we have any other points about social media that we want to share with our listeners?
I don't know. Is there anything left on your list?
No, that was all of it. It was a really short list.
Well, that's a first.
I know, right? Yeah. But, you know, I think those are the big points. You know, like, you want to protect yourself and you want to protect your relationship with your patients, because, you know, regardless of the setting you work in, like, there could come a point where their life is really in your hands and you don't want anything muddying that up.
Right. And you want to protect the, you know, the nursing profession, really, because if people start seeing certain things online or people posting things that will compromise personal information, they're going to think that nurses do that all the time, and they're not going to trust us anymore. And believe it or not, nurses are the number one most trusted profession in the United States. So you can't hinder that.
Yeah, we are. And that's a big responsibility. And, you know, they talked a lot about that in nursing school, about how, like, you know, I have mixed feelings. Well, I'm not going to go into that. Let's just say, at times I feel like nursing is like the military. We have a set of ethics that we work by. We are trained very specifically to fulfill very specific roles. You know, we have things we can do by protocol and things that we need to do with commands from those above us that, you know, have more experience or, you know, licensure or whatever. But at the same time, when we're on the front lines, we have to make decisions that affect people's lives. And,
right.
You know, that is a big responsibility, and we do have to protect that profession. I think there's probably a million more things we can talk about this topic, but I think we've basically hit all of the major points. And
I agree.
I think that we could talk about this for days. But since we can't, we want all of you listening to comment. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear what you think about what we've said. What's your policy on social media? Do you let people in? If you have, what has your experience been like? And how do you draw boundaries when patients try to step over them? Give us some love, share, like our posts, and come back for more. We've got a lot more coming up later. Are we going to hear from you again, Brad? Are you on board? all right, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're a part of this. One day I'll have to try to get you and Andrew on the line at the same time because then we can really get a round table going. Have you met Andrew? I can't remember if your timelines crossed.
We met, what, once? I think we went out to breakfast once.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know what, my memory in the middle of the night, well, it's not the middle of the night, it's 10:30, but my sleep schedule's off because I've had so many days off lately. But I think he said the exact same thing to me when I asked him if he had ever met you. So I should probably write this down so I don't forget again.
Met at brunch.
There we go. Was it at Bluebird?
Yes, it was.
Oh, man. Okay, so the next episode that we do has to be, or one of the next episodes we have to do has to be about night shift breakfast, the ritual. It's not just an occurrence. It is an important ritual. And actually, our breakfast club kind of fizzled out a little bit. So, Brad, now that you're back, we need to resurrect our post-shift breakfast club. It is a staple of night nurses throughout, well, I don't know about throughout history, but throughout all of the time that I've been in nursing and healthcare. So we'll save that for another time.
It is throughout the
United States. Actually, I've heard other bloggers refer to it as well, you know, and everybody has a different experience with it. I've had some very specific and very warm, fuzzy memories that I would love to talk about another time, but that is for another time. So, Brad, I want to thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Listeners, keep coming back. Like I said, I'm not going to throw those plugs again. We already got those in. But, come back for more Medroom Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored.
Yeah.
All right. All right, bye, guys.
Bye.